This series of Kicking It Off is sponsored by Bazooka Goals, Airpitch, and 3v3 UK. Having been a coach for over three decades, I know how important it is to have equipment that's easy to use and immediately engages the players. Bazooka Goals is the award-winning pop-up goal that's the perfect partner for small-sided games and training. Remember, every dream starts with a goal. And if you want to take your games to the next level, Airpitch's unique system keeps the ball in play 95% of the time. And coaches, if you're like me and want to bring the best of football, futsal and street football together, then 3v3 UK hosts tournaments and festivals around the country, as well as having a great franchise program. It's all about fast feed fun. All three of these brands will help you create a fun-filled, vibrant environment in which to produce the happy, active, skillful players of the future.
And welcome to Kicking It Off, the podcast for those interested in sports, football, and the coaching of young children. Today, we're going to be talking all things creativity. What is it? How can we develop it, recognize it, and value it? And then how can we plan for it in our sessions? So, first of all, hi, Dad.
Hello.
How are you today?
Very good. Very good.
As always, listeners, we've got Dora, the studio dog, the golden doodle, who is still... She's doing all right. She's sleeping. She's not been too disruptive, which is great. But as always, if you hear any rustles in the background, well, there she is. She's just getting comfy.
Just
she's just making
her,
sure.
Yeah.
So, Dad, creativity. I hear that you've brought a really juicy quote with you about what creativity is.
Yeah, well, there are lots. So the one that I like is that it's imaginative activity that produces something original, but of value. Because I think when you're particularly thinking about children and creativity, their ideas are so out of this world, or can be so out of this world. The critical thing with creativity is that, is there anything in it that can be used by us all, but it has a use and a value? Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ideas that are just brilliant ideas, but never come to fruition.
Yeah.
So I think the creativity is a double-edged sword. It's those wacky and wonderful ideas, but the really creative ones are the ones that actually there's something deeper in this and we can use it and it's of value.
And I suppose in the wacky, wonderful side of creativity, it's also important to know how to rein it in on... Maybe rein it in is the wrong term, but are there any parameters that need to be set for this wacky and wonderful idea to actually be actioned on and to be seen through?
Yeah, I think if you're talking about generating ideas, that there's two aspects to it. You've got divergent thinking, which is the reins are off, anything is possible, anything goes. Let's just look at this issue or this problem through that lens. And that will give you lots of ideas that are possible. The really important next step is where you begin to diverge. Divergent thinking brings those, each idea closer into focus, looks at the pros and cons of it, and it will lead to a process of elimination. Or for this reason, that one won't work. Great idea, but it won't work in this instance. And I think if you are working particularly with young children, the idea generation is great. The work that you do and the way that you support the children to find out which ones of those ideas are the most effective, mm-hmm. that's where their development comes, because they are thinking critically. Yeah. But you also can arrive at something that is really exciting because it is new, it does have value, and it's really quite creative.
Yeah. So how, as a coach, can you start to develop creativity when you're working with your group of young children? How do you go about developing it?
It's absolutely linked to the environment that you create. And if the environment that you create as a coach, and I absolutely understand why you might, but if it's an environment where you control everything, you make all the decisions, you organize everything and take the children through the session step by step by step, you're not going to get any creativity. Mm-hmm. So an environment that is gives more agency to the children, that is more self-determined, that means giving the children more autonomy and ownership and responsibility about what happens, that's when you can really benefit the most from any creative ideas that the children have got.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you become a bystander, but what you've done is you've lit the blue touch paper so the children can bring all of their creative juices mm-hmm. to the activity. And you're really, you're like the orchestrator of it, because you're asking the right questions. You're asking for an explanation. You're asking for a deeper understanding of that from the children. And all of those processes engage your higher level thinking skills. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we need to develop in the children if we want to get these creative juices flowing.
And I suppose it's asking coaches to be creatives in themselves and to know how to take an idea that a child has brought and how to roll with it, how to keep that create or a continuation of creativity going in the sessions, I suppose.
Yeah, again, there's two parts to this, because as a coach, I can coach or teach creatively. So I'll have loads of ideas. I'll have a really interesting or engaging way to do this. But that's me. So I might be coaching creatively, but I'm not coaching for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to coach for creativity, you have to hand a lot of the ideas, the self-determination and the agency to the children, because that's where they're not really confined or constricted by social norms in the way that we are. So I think as you get older and you go through that socialization period, it's harder for you to think outside of the box. But what we have got as the adults is a really deep understanding and subject knowledge. So we can act, that's where our creativity is formed. For children, they don't have that same depth of knowledge about football, so they're not quite sure about the possibilities yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been socialized in the same way.
Yeah.
So there are no boundaries or barriers for their thinking. And I think between us, it's almost a partnership where I'll use my deeper understanding, but not to overpower the children. That's where I'll ask the right question, or I'll probe a little bit further. That's where my knowledge comes in.
Yeah.
But the rest is generated by helping the children realize what is possible and where this could lead.
So can you give me an example then, Dad? If you've just arrived at your session, you've got a bunch of kids and they're ready to go. If you're coaching for creativity, can you give me an example of that in action, of how you were to put that into practice?
In a very basic sense, if you've got a group of young children who you're working with so that they get a real connection with the ball. Every child's got a ball. And my first challenge might be, how can we lift that ball off the floor?
Mm-hmm.
So lots of children will just pick it up with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So they've met the objective.
Yeah.
But my next question would be, because I'm thinking, that's great for a goalkeeper because they can use their hands. And it wouldn't be a dialogue I'd share with the children necessarily. But I'd be thinking, right, we need to be able to lift the ball off the floor with our feet in lots of different ways. So the next question would be, yeah, you can use your hands, but is there any other part of the body? So I'm not actually saying the feet, mm-hmm. but I know they're pretty much going to have to do that. And so you get the children then exploring and experimenting with ways to lift the ball off the floor with their feet.
Yeah.
And those ideas are generated because I've given them the opportunity and I've phrased it in such a way that I haven't said, oh, you do it like this, watch me, this is the only way to lift the ball off the floor. What I want is their ideas. Because if the idea is owned and it becomes part of them in a game, when they need to lift the ball off the floor, that's probably the one that they're going to go to.
Yeah. I think it's really brilliant to just be involving the kids and their ideas, because if they're invested in what's happening because they've contributed to it, hopefully the whole process of the session and the running of the session is going to be really exciting for the kids, because they're going, oh, when can I? I've got this idea. And if you're nurturing that kind of environment and that kind of space, I assume down the line you would be creating some really free-thinking and exciting creative players, because we know that all of this work that we're wanting to do as coaches, it's not going to happen overnight. All of these things are the long term. So when I think of creative players now, thankfully, I am thinking of some England players. You've got the absolute wonder kid, Jude Bellingham. And I think of Mbappe. Obviously, you think of Messi and Ronaldo and their connection with the ball and how they can use the ball and how they can problem solve and get out of a sticky situation. That's creative thinking. And if that is nurtured right from the get-go in your sessions, I mean, hopefully we're just going to keep producing lots of those players.
Yeah, and creativity in its general sense is solving problems. And football is going to pose lots and lots of problems. You might be marked really tightly. What's the solution to that? And if it's a solution that everybody else knows, it's very likely that the person marking you will know that solution anyway. So having something different or creative or unusual is really helpful in those situations. You might be marked by two people. So what's your creative solution to that? And we know that there'll be lots of times where you'll just make a safe pass or an easy pass to somebody else. That will only get you so far, certainly at the highest level. So we need players who, in a heartbeat, can change the game in a way that we would like it to be nobody's seen that before. Or it's just their way of saying, I've got a solution to this problem and you don't know it, but it's gonna happen now, and I'm gonna be free to do the next action. So that's exciting for me.
Yeah, well, it's really exciting as a football fan to be seeing that in action on the pitch. So if we've talked about creativity and what we would like to see from players, how else can we coach for it?
I think we have to, in our session planning, instead of saying this is what we're doing tonight, there are a couple of ways, and it's threatening, but it's really nice if the coach says, what do you want to learn tonight? That is, for some coaches, wow, because certainly with young children, you've got no idea what might come back. But what you're doing is just handing over something about the session that sends a very strong signal that what you want to learn and how you want to learn it is really important. And I've got some ideas and I'm here to support you, but what would you like to learn tonight and how would you like to learn it? I think that's a very powerful thing. So that's one way, but I do understand that for lots of coaches that might be quite threatening. There is another way where you can say, instead of having a topic that is quite narrow in its focus, you can have more of an outcome. So we could do dribbling. So tonight's topic is dribbling. And immediately all the kids' divergent thinking thinks, oh, well, the only solution that the coach wants to see is us dribbling. Mm-hmm. But if you said, tonight we're going to work on scoring more goals, then I haven't said how we're going to do it. So that can be done by dribbling. So I'm going to get what I want anyway. We could score goals by great passing to each other, great combinations. We could do from shooting from distance, from being in the 6-yard box and scoring, you know. So there's loads of ways that we can score goals. But what I've done in how I've framed it is to say the outcome or the objective that we want is to score more goals. Let's explore and experiment with all of the ways that we might be able to do that. And in doing it, we want the players to think, If your solution is in scoring more goals is for you to dribble, at the moment, your dribbling is not quite good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you might have to work on. Or for somebody who's always shooting and being greedy when there's a pass on, we can work through what are the other alternatives. But what we've done, we've just set a really big goal. And then we're supporting the children as how they can do that and achieve it.
Yeah. So I think a lot of that is about ownership, isn't it? For the children. Here is what we want to achieve in this session. It's on you. You're giving ownership to these kids to how we get there.
Yeah.
If we're wanting to inspire and we're wanting to coach for creativity, we have to give up some of our voice and give the platform to the kids and just see what we might come back with.
Yeah, our role as the coach changes because ultimately, if the children says, I don't know how to do this, then that's when we would do it. But I think too often we step in and say, no, this is how you should do it, or you need to do it this way, when the children might have another way or another solution. So I think certainly jumping in and helping too soon is something that is drilled into most coaches. We've got to try to hold that back a little bit. Asking the right questions, probing a little bit deeper, because I know when you throw a question out to a load of kids, they will all say, oh yeah, it's communication, it's space, it's support. You can't leave it at that. What you've got to do, well, what does support look like? And how far away would you be to support him really effectively? Or communication, what is that? And what kind of information does your teammate need from you? And does it always have to be verbal? Could you send a signal with your body? That's for me the role of the coach.
Yeah.
Not to say, you want to kick the ball from here to there, this is where your non-kicking foot goes, this is how you make contact with the ball, this is how you do it. And I think if coaches can embrace this, it almost liberates them because you can have so much fun, but it will take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But what you're doing in taking that more scenic route is you are deepening the understanding for the players. You are maintaining high levels of engagement and enjoyment. And it's just a great thing to do together.
Yeah. And so for coaches, I suppose it's about planning for spontaneity, being loose enough in the plan that, oh, what could happen? Because I'm not so fixed on these reins. I'm not so rigid in the structure that I have prepped for tonight's session or this afternoon session, that things are loose enough that boundaries can be played with, because that's where exciting things start to happen when we start to push those boundaries. And whether that is asking more probing questions and testing the understanding rather than, because I know I felt like so much of school for me was just regurgitating what I've been told. And that didn't feel like deep learning and having a deeper understanding of what was being told to me. It was like, well, I know I've got a test coming up, or I know that this is what they want to hear. So whether I understand it or not, I'm just gonna throw back what you want to hear. Yeah.
That's a really good example, because we want the response to any given situation to come from the player. I know there will be tried and tested responses, and those are all the ones that the coach knows. And they will work, you know, 9 times out of 10. But if you've got players who have the ability that in that critical moment can do something that is unexpected and unpredictable, and that can take your team and your performances to the next levels, we have to really nurture that rather than say, no, don't do that. We know this works. Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
I think certainly with our young children who we have no idea what their potential could be, we cannot adopt that approach. And I think this thing about regurgitating stuff, there's no higher level or higher order thinking going on there.
No,
and it's not engaging, you know. So we've got children during those really critical periods of their lives where they are open to an approach that embraces these creative ideas. And thanks to a lady called Anna Kraft, the idea of possibility thinking, and let's look at what is possible And let's work through why this might be possible, but that might not. So, but we don't want to dismiss it. We want to have a little dive down. The last thing on when you mentioned coaches planning and really having it in mind before the session, if there is real learning going on and you think, oh, I've done my 20-minute activity, it's time to change it to the next one, please, 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 if there is real learning going on, stay with that activity. Yeah. Don't change it just because, you know, you're halfway through your session and you're thinking, oh, on my plan, I was just about to make this change. I know for me, if the players are, particularly if they're exploring something new and they're showing that they're getting it, there's no way I'm going to stop it and say, okay, let's stop that now and we'll do this because it's on my plan.
Yeah.
I would be pushing them deeper and deeper into that direction that they want to go. So your plan is there, but it can change. And to be honest, it should change depending on what the children give you.
Because the kids will bring something new for each session and will be inspired by different things on different days.
Yeah.
And what they've learned at school or a book that they've read or something that they've seen on television is going to influence what they bring to a session. So we have to be open and flexible enough to allow for that, because you wouldn't want to cut growth short. And if we're expecting our children to have growth mindsets rather than fixed mindsets, that's something that we as coaches need to have ourselves.
Yeah, and that point about learning about other things, the broader the spectrum of the things that the children engage with, you might think, well, that doesn't really work. But what they're being exposed to is lots of other ideas, lots of other ways of thinking. And some of that might help them when they bring that to football, particularly ways to move or different tactics or ideas or techniques from other sports. That is brilliant if they bring that to their football games and activities, because they're bringing so much more with them. So I think that should be encouraged right across the board.
And again, we can take inspiration from other sports and other ways that we can be using our body, because especially if we're working with young children, they're, I know you've used the phrase, Dad, physical literacy isn't going to be, you know, what an adult's is. So drawing on things from other sports and different ways to use their bodies and different ways to get comfortable in how their body moves is just going to improve that physical literacy along with the rest of their development.
Absolutely. And we would really like to make the connection between being skillful with the ball and with your ideas, and your body's got to be capable of delivering mm-hmm. against that. So skillful body, highly, highly skillful with your physical literacy can lead to you being highly skillful with your manipulation of the ball and what you do with, you know, with the ball in mm-hmm. those critical moments of the game.
So, Dad, we've covered lots of things in this episode. And if we're offering any advice for coaches who want to coach for creativity, I suppose some of that would be asking open-ended questions, because that's a great way to give onus and ownership to the children, that higher level of thinking and higher development. Then we've got being open and flexible enough with your sessions that if we are going down one path and it's working, but that veers in the opposite direction to what you planned, trust in that and roll with it. Anything else just in summary for coaches to take away?
Yeah, I think that enabling environment really does put the child at the center of it. And throughout all of these podcasts and all of the information on our website, it's all about trying to put the child at the center and meeting their needs. So wherever they progress to in the future, we've given them the best possible start. But creativity will never happen if you as the coach don't believe in it. And you can let yourselves down by saying, yeah, it's okay if you make a mistake and all of those things. And then the children turn around and see you with your head in your hands when somebody's made a mistake mm-hmm. at a critical period. I think you've got to live and breathe it. I think you've got to communicate to the children that thinking differently and acting differently is possible for all of them. And then that is reinforced and backed up in the way that you speak to them, the activities that you involve them in, and the environment that you create.
So thank you so much. And join us next week where we've got an excellent guest in Dan Machici, where actually this conversation in creativity will continue a little bit. So once again, thank you and we'll see you later.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Bazooka Goals, Airpitch and 3v3 UK, for helping us to create the perfect environment to develop happy, active and skillful players.